The main emphasis for today, like I said, I'm not sneaking up on you. I'm just going to tell you, this is a Sunday dedicated to the idea and to reinforce in our hearts the importance of getting the gospel out to people. I'm going to preach three messages today, and we don't usually live stream the Sunday school. We're live streaming this, so please be on your best behavior, okay? And why go soul winning? I'm going to give you three messages on why go soul winning. This morning, I'm going to go, why go soul winning? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to be the number one reason anyway. And then in the morning service, folks, why go soul winning? Because of the reality of hell. And you know, I got convicted this week, and I love it when the Holy Spirit convicts me. Listen, don't ever fight against that. You know, be glad for it. If the Holy Spirit hasn't convicted you about something recently, it's not because you've reached perfection. Maybe it's because we've just stopped listening to him. Amen. Be careful about grieving the Holy Spirit and quenching the Holy Spirit in your life. I love it when he convicts me. And you know, this week, I called a friend, and I won't tell you, but I called a friend, and I said, boy, I'm really struggling about what to preach on Sunday morning. I got my Sunday school. I think I got my Sunday night. And you know, the first thing he said was, well, preacher, let me just ask you something. When's the last time you preached on hell? And man alive, I was like, wow, well, it's probably been a little while. Then I got to thinking, you know, this is what prompted the whole rest of the messages and caused me to restructure things, was I thought, you know what, we're going to launch Operation Occupation. Why are we doing this? Yes. Sometimes you may sit in the pew and say, preacher, you know, you make such a big deal about this. Why are we doing this? Sometimes people say, well, you know what, think about all of the results that are coming from that. And if the results aren't matching the effort, then why are we doing this? Well, I'm going to answer that question today. Because, folks, you know what? The honest truth is we're commanded to do some things. And you know what? It doesn't matter if it seems to be working or doesn't seem to be working. If God has commanded it, then you know what? We're to do it. And so, and by the way, it is working, and people are getting saved, and you know what, people are getting the gospel, and a lot of what we do on door-to-door soul winning, I kind of mentioned this during our soul winning training that we've just gone through, is we have to remember, folks, a lot of soul winning, a lot of our visitation ministries, we're doing a lot of planting, and we're doing a lot of watering. And there's going to be a lot of things that we learn in heaven that happen as a result of us leaving packets on doors. Maybe you didn't even talk to the person, but you know what? You left the gospel there. And you know what? When we get to heaven, come on, remember what Paul Harvey said, we're going to find out the rest of the story. And I'm just going to be obedient. What I found out is, you know what? If you'll just be a soul winning church, even if God doesn't bring you people through the soul winning efforts as much as you'd like, listen to this. He'll still send you people. Because you're being obedient to the Lord. So we're going to cover this in our Sunday school hour. Why go soul winning? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me have you turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And this is going to be a Sunday where we reinforce the importance of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. And so Luke chapter number 19. We'll read the story of, we sang about him this morning. Zacchaeus, that wee little man. Well, let's read the story. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. You know, I do this thing with the kids where I'm playing around, you know, and I'll do this, and then I'll do this sometimes to them. And I think to myself, you know, children, you know, I just wonder how many of them really believe they're going to get to heaven. And Zacchaeus is going to be like one of those little plastic army men running around heaven, you know. And so anyway, okay, he was of little stature, but I don't think it was probably that little anyway. And so verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Sounds like to me Jesus just sat in the temple and just waited for lost people to come to him. Yeah. No, we're going to get to that. Come on, verse 10 is coming, folks. Verse 10 is coming. Verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, They all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Well, I hope so. Folks, listen to me. Well, listen, I believe in separation, but I don't believe in isolation. And you know, if we're going to win sinners, we're going to spend time with sinners. That don't mean that we engage in their sinfulness. But you know what? We need to interact with sinners. Hey, when you were lost, some saved person came and influenced your life. And so, you know, but here's the accusation. You know what? No matter what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be somebody criticize you for it. You just might as well get used to that. And Jesus always had that crowd following him. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also was a son of Abraham. Now notice verse 10. For if there's a mission statement verse concerning Christ and his purpose for coming to earth, here it is. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I like that. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us, dear God. Lord, thank you for the incredible story that we have to share. And Lord Jesus, thank you for what you did. If you hadn't have come and you hadn't have died and you hadn't rose again, Lord, then there would be no gospel story. There'd be nothing to tell. There'd be no salvation available for any of us. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, while we have time, Lord, while it's still day, night cometh when no man can work. And so, Lord, while we have time, Lord, I pray that we'd be busy about, Lord, our Father's business. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So why go soul winning? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the Lord Jesus. How about this? Because of the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here we read the story of Jesus Christ. He didn't sit in the temple and wait for lost men to come to him. Where's he at? He's out looking for them. Well, listen, we need to this week be aware that there could be a Zacchaeus that is having a desire to find Jesus and to see Jesus. I've said this before, but folks, I'm convicted when I read this. You know, I see Jesus, the crowd is around him, the disciples are pressing him. There's always another appointment, folks. There's always something else on the to-do list. There's always something else to get to. And I just wonder, would Jerry Ross have walked right underneath that sycamore tree and never even taken the time to look up? And one of the things we need to be aware of, folks, is just to have a tenderness to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Listen, soul winning is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. He works in the heart of a sinner to bring to the point where they're ready to be saved. He needs to be working in the heart of the saints to make us tender, to look for those opportunities. And so here he is, the example of our Savior. And it's not just here. We don't have the time this morning to go through it, but let me just kind of give you just a short rundown of some of the things that Jesus did. Jesus left us an example in the Gospels of this matter of seeking out people and winning them to himself. Now, 11 of the 12 original disciples, Jesus won to himself. This included four fishermen and a tax collector. We don't have a list of what everybody else did, but you know what? By the way, men, I want to stop and say this. As I go through this list, by the way, he won the woman at the well. And you know what? There was times that he turned around and he took time to show mercy on that woman that had an issue of blood. And I don't think we ought to pass. Jesus stopped everything and brought the kids to him and the children to him. Hey, I'm forgetting the gospel to everybody. But you'll notice this when you study this list as I'm going through it, that Jesus, as a man, went hard after winning other men to Christ. And I just want to kind of throw a challenge out to us men. You know, folks, that the statistics prove it. You know what? If you see a child saved, then there's a very small percentage that you'll see the mom and dad saved. If you see the wife saved first, then there's a larger percentage chance that the children get saved, but a smaller percentage chance that the husband or the whole house will get saved. Sometimes it happens, but when a man gets saved, it's amazing how God then works through the entire family to reach the wife and to reach the children. And I just kind of want to challenge myself, okay? I mean this. In 2024, I asked the Lord, Lord, help me to see men saved. Help me to be able to lead men to Christ. And you'll see this a lot. Matter of fact, most of what I'm going to read here is about men, even though there are other instances. 11 of the 12 original disciples he won to himself. Zacchaeus, a tax collector, he won to himself. Jairus, by the way, was a politician. You know, we can complain about politics. Maybe we want to start winning rulers to the Lord. He saw demonic men saved. Folks, listen to me. There's a lot of demonic activity. And there's a lot of people in our community. Come on, in our community that I believe are oppressed by the devils and or some of them possessed by devils. And you know what? Listen to me. That doesn't mean Jesus can't save them. That doesn't mean somebody doesn't need to go after them. Hey, you know what? Let's look for the hard cases. Let's look for the, okay, well, who's the least likely man in Greene County or Sullivan County or Clay County that could come to Jesus Christ? You know, if God just brought somebody to your mind that you know and you think, preacher, I'm going to tell you something. There's some guy that I just think would be, well, why don't you get a burden for him? Why don't you start going and seeing him? Well, you know, why don't you just say, Lord, can I see a miracle? Can I see some, could we see another Ron Allen saved? You know, and so think about these things. A physically afflicted men, lepers, blind men, cripples, well, a man with a withered hand, deaf men, Jesus took the time to reach them. You know, a lot of times when people are going through sicknesses or physical affliction, and you know what? God uses that in their heart, come on, to stop them, to get them to realize, hey, I'm not Superman. Come on, to kind of be more open maybe, tender to the gospel. And so you see these wonderful examples. The centurion and his servant, Nicodemus, by the way, a religious man, very religious man, but lost. And Jesus was able to meet him at a midnight meeting. You know, come on, let's be willing to sacrifice time and to sometimes meet people when it's inconvenient for us. And hey, so when he's not always convenient. Now I'm just going to stop and say it this way. I don't know if so when he's ever convenient. Listen, it doesn't fall into my schedule because it's easy to fit in. It's just something that you have to make a part of your life. He witnessed to a rich young ruler and, by the way, was saddened, brokenhearted, the Bible said, because of the young man's decision not to receive him. And you know what? Not everybody you witness to is going to get saved. Not everybody Jesus preached to got saved. But how about this? I'm shortening the list a little bit. Here Jesus is on the cross. Come on, folks, the crucifixion. We'll talk about it in a minute. And you know what? I don't know if there's a crueler, much more of a cruel way for a man to be put to death. And if you've studied it out, you think of the agony he was in physically and all that. And yet he took the time to look at somebody beside him that had a repentant heart. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, even as he was dying, there was a centurion soldier that was over the Roman soldiers that were putting him to death. And he said, surely this man is the Son of God. And then, you know, Jesus actually came back from heaven and met Paul on the road to Damascus, you know. Hey, you know what? Think about this. I'd like to see people saved when I'm alive, and I'd like to leave enough stuff behind after I'm dead to see somebody saved even after I'm dead. You know, that's one of the reasons I write tracts. That's one of the reasons I write books. That's one of the reasons. Listen, I, you know what? I still hear Lester Roloff on the radio. Amen. Amen. You know, he's still influencing people for Christ, you know. And so there's that little phrase, he being dead yet speaketh. I like that. Leave a testimony that can still influence people to Christ after your death. Now, I went through all this to say this, folks. Listen to me. It's important that we follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard your preacher say this so many times, but I believe the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. And if that's not the ultimate goal, come tell me what it is after the service. Doesn't the very word Christian mean Christ-like? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask to be like him. And when you get hyper-focused on that, turn off all the other stuff, and just open the Bible and study the life of Christ and say, okay, what was he all about? This is what he was all about. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, he taught us a lot of wonderful things, but I don't think that was the primary purpose. And you know what? He gave us a lot of other commandments we're going to talk about in a minute. But you know what? He gave us one last commandment, was our last marching orders. And so, you know what? If we're going to attain Christ's likeness, then, you know what? How can we claim to be like Jesus and not be a witness? How can we claim to be like Jesus and not have a burden for lost souls? I mean, he was willing to come and die to save the world. We can't give an hour a week or 2 hours a week to go out and try to be a witness. And not just that, but outside of those 2 hours, can't we just be on high alert as we go about our daily lives looking for opportunities to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? How important is Christ's likeness? Well, I'm going to run out of time. How important is Christ's likeness? Romans 8:29, for whom he did know, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And that's such an interesting verse, kind of rushing past him. But the Apostle Paul travailed to see them saved. But then he said, once you're saved, I travail in birth again. Because when somebody gets saved, that's not, listen, thank God that takes care of eternity, but that doesn't mean that's the end of our job. He said, I travailed to see you come to Christ. Now I want to travail in birth again to see you become like Christ. I think about, why did God provide pastors and teachers and evangelists? Well, look, Ephesians 4:11. Let's read it. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. If this ministry is not teaching, what are you doing right now, preacher? I am encouraging you to be like Jesus. I am challenging you to be like Jesus. I am holding up the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to measure yourself and to compare yourself amongst yourself. I'm not asking you to be like Jerry Ross. I'm saying this, to be like Jesus, that ought to be the goal. And how can we study his life and not realize that this was a big part of what he did every day in his life? Don't stop there. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Boy, I'm not going to have time this morning, but maybe I'll hit it some other time. But there is so much being put on the internet that are drawing people out of soul winning, out of bus ministry, out of churches that are actually doing something. You know what? Under the guise, cunning craftiness, promoting this idea of relationship. And you know, you don't realize this now, but Calvinists and evangelicals and recovering fundamentalists would tell you that, you know, you are attending a performance-based church. A performance-based church. I'm going to bring a whole message on that. And by the way, it's a bunch of straw man arguments. And if you knew your King James Holy Bible and you've read any of those articles, you should be able to dismantle it in 10 seconds. Yes, relationship is important. But first of all, yeah, I'm going to get off here. Here comes that rabbit. It just ran through here. You know, when liberals or when anybody, come on, heresy, they like to choose the terminology. Performance-based, look right up here. I'm not performing right now. When I go soul winning, I'm not performing. Isn't it amazing how they pick words to make it sound like something that it's not? You know, if I was going to call it anything, I'd call it productive-based. All right, let's talk about productive-based. And by the way, I don't even believe in productive-based. I believe in relationship-based. But you know what? If you have the right relationship, you're going to do the right things. But it's almost like they pull up this straw man's argument that you've got to choose between relationship or productivity. No, you don't. So apparently relationship can only happen if you're sequestered away in a room. I'm going to tell you, some of the sweetest times I've ever had walking with Jesus is when I'm walking from one door to another. Some of the times I've been the most filled with the Spirit and the most Spirit-led in my life when I was out bus calling. You know, I'm sick of these straw man arguments and then these, you know, recovering fundamentalists. Well, I was just part of a performance-based church and I just had to get out of that because it's all about what we do and not about who we are. So now they're sitting over there focused on who they are and not doing anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, there's a balance in everything. Listen, you know what? We need the Mary example. Look right up here. She chose the best thing. I get it. Relationship is more important than Martha. But he said that she chose the better thing or the best thing. That isn't a condemnation on Martha. And by the way, you want to condemn Martha, then Martha, come over here and sit by Mary, and let's just stay here for the next 2 weeks. And who's going to get fed? Okay, listen. They take portions of Scripture and they create this idea that you've got to make a choice of one or the other. And no, you know, my dad transitioned from an American Baptist church to an independent Baptist church, King James Bible church, you know, 50 years ago. We just celebrated it. And you know what, folks? 50 years of serving the Lord. And not one time in an independent fundamental Baptist church or conference had I heard the idea that they again, I'm preaching the message, I was going to wait and preach a Sunday night. But this whole idea that, you know what, you have to, these performance-based churches teach you that God's love is based on your performance. And if you're not performing, then that's what you do to win God's love. I've never heard that one time in my life. God's love is unconditional. Amen. Okay, you know why? Because he's my sweet heavenly Father. Amen. But you know, just because he has unconditional love, let's go back and look at the fact that part of that love is expressed when he chastises us. Why does he have to chastise us? Because we're not doing. You know, what do you think the judgment seat's about? Well existed thou, you know, good and faithful servant. No, it says, well done. You know what the judgment seat's about? It's going to be a judgment of what you did. Okay, and so, you know, listen, I'm not throwing away relationship, but those of you that want to chase relationship, don't throw away productivity. Yes, sir. You know, Jesus said, pray the Lord of harvest that he'll send forth. Amen. No, kumbaya people. Relationship. No, you know, part of what we're supposed to do is work for the Lord. And okay, like I said, I'm not going to get into that this morning, even though I just got into it. Number one, because of the example, Lord Jesus. Number two, because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Why go soul winning? Folks, good night. We have the Lord's Supper. Again, I'm going to run out of time here, but we have the Lord's Supper for a reason. Jesus instituted it for a reason. You know, I had one of our teenagers just recently come up and they said, preacher, sometimes I watch you at different times. I wonder what you're doing. And during the Lord's Supper, you come up and you open your Bible and you read for a while and then you'll bow your head and pray. And by the way, folks, I don't do that to perform. I don't care what you do or don't do during the Lord's Supper. I'm not worried about you. How about this? Let every man examine himself. But I will tell you that the way my mind works, if I'm supposed to be fully focused on the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ and on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I almost always, during the Lord's Supper, while they're passing out bread, I want to take that time to do what Jesus asked me to do. This do in, come on, remembrance of me. And you know what helps me? I'll just flip to the back of one of the Gospels and I'll just read a portion of the crucifixion story. I'll read about, sometimes I'll choose to read a little bit about what he went through before he got on the cross. Listen, what are you talking about? The sacrifice? You know, listen, the gospel story is the most amazing story that can ever be told. It is the good news. It's amazing what Jesus did. Let me just give you pieces of it out of Matthew. Again, it's going to have you flip there. But Matthew 26, what think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then they did spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hand, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? How about Matthew 27? You go to the next chapter. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. How about later on in Matthew 27? Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, just that little phrase, scourged Jesus. You understand what that's talking about, what that's entailing? That's talking about when he was tied to a post. That's talking about the cat of nine tails. That's just one little thing. He delivered him. After he scourged, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they mocked him. And they took the robe off of him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to be crucified. And folks, we're not even to the crucifixion yet. And you know, this is why we need the Lord's Supper. This is why between the times we have the Lord's Supper, you know what? One of the most powerful things that you can do before you go soul winning is to read some of the accounts of the crucifixion. Because you know what, folks, listen to me. I should go soul winning because of the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I should go soul winning because of the sacrifice, what he was willing to suffer for me and what he was willing to suffer for you. And we can't go out there and, you know, we fold like a tent when one person slams a door in our face. I mean, think about what he suffered and what he's asked us to do. Come on, we're in the United States of America. We're not in Sudan. We're not in China where they're killing Christians. I mean, they're killing them all the time over there. We're not in the Middle East where Christians are being slaughtered. And yet we don't face any of that. And come on. What are you doing, preacher? I'm just trying to let Jesus, I'm just lifting Jesus up as an example and say, please tell me why you can't. Please tell me why you won't. Because you know what? He did leave us that example. He did leave us a story of his sacrifice. And then we get into the last one, because of the command of our Savior. Mark 16:15, he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So why do I go so him? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his example. I want to be like him because of the sacrifice that he made. I want to tell that story to people. They need to hear about it. And then because of these commands, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world." Go ye into all the world. Come on, seek and save. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What a mandate. What a mandate. You say, "Preacher, that's impossible." No, it's not. Not if every Christian got busy. It's really not. It's really not. We'll talk about it tonight when we talk a little bit about Operation Occupation. But, you know, I believe in gospel saturation. I take that command seriously. You know, not everybody's going to be saved, but everybody ought to have the gospel, an attempt at least to give them the gospel. Everybody ought to have a chance. 1 Corinthians 15, what is the gospel? "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures." That's the gospel. It's the most amazing story that is available for mankind today. It's not a complicated story, but man, it's an important story. People cannot be saved if they don't hear the gospel. People cannot be saved if they don't understand the gospel. That's our job. This is what Jesus left us. We talk about the command. Okay, Acts 1, verse 6. "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Both, come on. You know what your preacher said, both. "Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of his sight. Last words, last marching orders, last thing he said, and then they watched him go up. That's it. Yeah, Jesus commanded us to do a lot of things, and we ought to read all of them, take them all seriously. Hey, he commanded us to love one another. I could take you through the Gospels and show you that over and over and over again. That's important. There's not a command that he gave us that's not important. But there's something about the last command. Come on, the captain of our salvation is getting ready to leave. And you know what? He turns around and he looks at the troops and he says, I'm going to give you one last order. And the last order is the standing order. Until that captain comes back and gives you a different order. And by the way, he's going to come back one day and give us another order. You know what it's going to be? Come up hither. But until then, we're to occupy.
Yes, sir.
Occupy till I come. Oh boy, it just stirs my heart. I don't want to stand before Jesus with a bunch of excuses. I just don't. If you're too busy to go somewhere, you're too busy. If you're too busy to go somewhere, you're too busy. You know, preacher, I don't have time. You got the same amount of time anybody else has. We all have been given 168 hours a week. Okay? You know what? We make choices. Every week of our life, we make choices of what we're going to do with the 168. Well, my job. Well, good night. That's probably the only job in America. If I had a job that kept me too busy to go after souls and to serve my Lord Jesus Christ, I'd go find a different job. This is America. Okay, if you're a hard worker, you can get a job just about anywhere. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you're a hard worker, you can get a job about anywhere right now. Are you kidding me? Nobody wants to work. They find somebody that will work. You'll do okay. And yeah, that's why this whole thing about, well, I got to work Sundays. No, you choose to work Sundays.
That's right.
You make a choice.
That's right.
Okay, there's a lot of men in this room. They don't have to work Sundays. Why is it? Because they chose not to. I've seen men walk away from job opportunities that would have doubled the money they were making because you know what they said? Sunday's the Lord's day. That's a Bible phrase. I didn't make that up. Lord's, L-O-R apostrophe S, Lord's. That means ownership. That belongs to him. Sunday's not your day. Other people, I knock on the door. Well, Sunday's my only free day. It's not your day. I'll tell them that. Say, preacher, you tell them that? Yeah, I'm old and cranky now. Good night. I'm tired of messing around with people. Just they might as well hear the truth. I said, what'd you say? He said, well, it's my only day. I said, do you understand that that's not your day? That's the Lord's day? I'll take him to Revelation chapter 1 and show him where John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Capital L-O-R-D, apostrophe S. That day belongs to him, doesn't belong to us. And so if you're too busy to go to church, then you're too busy. Okay? If you make commitments that keeps you from serving the Lord and having time to serve the Lord, then you know what? You shouldn't make those commitments. Okay? Make a commitment to soul winning. Make a commitment to soul winning. Now, I'm preaching this, and I got Brother Dively, and I got Mrs. Dively, and I've got other folks in the church here, and I watch them get out of their car and try to walk into the church house. And by the way, there's a lot of our elderly people, a handful of them. If you knew what they went through on a Sunday morning, how early they had to start just to get ready and be here, and how exhausted they are when they get home, I'm going to tell you something. You tip your hat to them. I'm not trying to put people that can't do it on a guilt trip. But, you know, I'm also not going to let anybody off the hook here. Look right up here. I've thought about this already. I was in my office this morning thinking, okay, you know, I don't know where this sickness is going to go, but I do know this. I'm older and I'm going to continue to get older. And I sat down with Don Mowry this week, went by and seen him and Gene real quick, and he started telling me it gets worse. This body from this point on is going to get stronger. It's not going to have more energy. It's not going to get younger. It's not going to get, okay? And I've already thought to myself, listen, I want you to understand that I'm committed to this thing. Brother Bud said that Friday night you got together over at Terry's and you were watching some videos and some things and you guys were watching. Were you there? Sister Tanya and watching Brother Bo and Levi can tell you this. Jeff Reiser can tell you this. This man's fighting cancer, been fighting it for almost 5 years. It's all he can do to get to the truck. Levi, you drove that man from his bus route. He couldn't get out of the truck to walk to the front door. And you would go to the door. Am I telling a lie here? And you would say, Brother Bo wants to talk to you. Yeah. And he'd say to the mom, Brother Bo would like to talk to you. And he can't walk to the door, but he opens the window and he sees those kids. And he says, I want you to be in church tomorrow.
Amen.
And he witnesses to parents. And I thought to myself, Lord, there's going to be a day that I can't do what I'm doing now. But I don't ever want to not do something.
Amen.
And, I may get to the point where all I got is the strength to drive down 10 driveways. And I may be on a cane, like I saw my dad go sowing in the last few years of his life.
Amen.
And maybe after 10 doors, that's all I got. And I have to get back in the car and just go home. But if I can do 10 doors, I want to do 10 doors. And folks, listen, if this doesn't become a conviction in your life, well, preacher, why? Why should it? Because of the Lord Jesus. His example, come on, folks, this is what we did. His example, his sacrifice, and his command. And if Jesus commanded me to do it, then I need to be doing it. And so I'd ask you to examine yourself and think about this. And if you have to rearrange your schedule a little bit, say, all right, you know, what is blocking up all of my time? What is preventing me from doing what I'm supposed to be to prioritize your life? What we say these are the most important things. A lot of times these are the things that get crowded out. I hope this has been a help to you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that as we continue through the day, Lord, that you would help us to understand, Lord, that this matter of lost souls and getting the gospel to them, this comes from the very heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You gave the very best thing that heaven had. Lord, if you're willing to give your best, help us to give our best, dear God. We'll present it tonight. Lord, I think we'll present it in such a way that it'll be helpful to the people. And Lord, I do understand we have responsibilities and there's a lot of things that we have to do. That's just necessary. But Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd also help us, dear Lord, to just take pause today and let your Holy Spirit work in us and through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.